All right, so today we'll give a little bit of a brief introduction, and hopefully tomorrow we'll get into the details a little bit more of the mitzvah of Simchas Chasan and Kala, which is a topic that comes up in a few places in Shas, but perhaps in the most concentrated form, certainly in Maseches Ksubis, but especially on our daf. And daf Yitzayim and Aleph in Maseches Ksubis seems to be the most focused place where some of the details of this mitzvah come out. Also other Gemaras in the first parak, which are important. The whole institution of Sheva Brachos is relevant, which is really a first parak topic. So together with the first two parakim, but really especially our daf, it gives us a portal into this important mitzvah. And it's interesting, I think a good way to start is just to look. You hopefully got a chance to see the stock of the Shulchan Aruch, which we'll just look at together for a moment as kind of a way to see how various themes on our daf and elsewhere are brought together, la halacha. So the opening sif in Simen Samachay in Eben Ezer, which, by the way, it's noteworthy, if you just know the placement, what is Simen Samachay in Eben Ezer? It is the last halacha in Hilchus Kedushin. And it's right before Hilchus Ksubis. So essentially, this is the segue between the Kedushin process itself and Maseches Ksubis, which might itself be a little bit of a clue. We're not necessarily in the habit of being medayik in the placement of the Torah Shulchan Aruch as much as we are, I'd say, the Rambam. The Rambam, sometimes we put great significance on where he places things, but perhaps it's valid here as well to take note of how the Torah/Shulchan Aruch positioned this halacha might itself be instructive of what exactly it's about. But in any event, it's the bridge between the halachos of Kedushin and Ksubis. And the way it's phrased over here is Simen Samach Aleph, Mitzvah L'Sameach Chasan V'Kala, V'Lerakei L'Fneihem, V'Lomar Shehina V'Chasuda. And then he has a little parentheses here. Where does that word V'Chasuda come from? Min V'Tiso Chesed L'Fana. Where's that from? Gil Sester, right? The second parak. So there, Chesed is used as a way of saying that he found her attractive. So here it has that connotation as well. You may have noticed that Tosfos and others discuss in our daf the various interpretations that word could have. Well, whatever it is, for some reason it's brought here in that connection. And then he adds on, Afilu Enona, right? That's the view of Beis Hillel, that regardless of what the Messias is or what the subjective assessment is, that's the right thing to say. And then the Rama adds, Matsinu Shubi Huda Bar Eloi, Hay Meraki Lefne HaKala. That's one part. And he adds, Mavatnan Talmud Torah L'Hachnosas Kala L'Chuppah, which is, again, from our daf. As is noted here, Perek Kamad de Megillah, Perek HaIsha Shenes Armlo, from our parak. So that summation is itself a valuable introduction to the whole concept. So let's try to figure out what are our core questions here. So what exactly is this mitzvah? Mitzvah Sameach Chasan V'Kala. Ask me some fundamental questions about that mitzvah. Well, first of all, where does it come from? Mitzvah what? It's mitzvah Daraisa? It's mitzvah Daravana? What kind of mitzvah is it? I think that's... Sorry?
Dravana.
Is it Dravana?
I think so.
Okay, so you're saying that you don't think it's a Dereis?
Well, it seems like Moshe instituted some type
Okay.
But it doesn't look more than what? Sheva Bracha, some more like Dravana.
Right, so that, just to parenthetically address that for a second, so if you saw the Yerushalmi and Ksubis, right, so Moshe is credited with Sheva Brachas, which, by the way, it makes it makes Sheva Brachas a Drabana, Pashtus. That the idea of Moshe instituting it, even though Moshe is also the transcriber of the Torah, but that doesn't mean that everything that comes from his pen, so to speak, is Daraisa. If Moshe makes a Takana, so presumably that's still Drabana, and he's functioning in his rabbi hat rather than in his Navi transmitter of the Torah hat. So we have a few dinim like this, including Kriya Satorah. There is a Bach who refers to Kriya Satorah as Daraisa because this is a whole discussion that doesn't seem to be what's indicated, that even if it goes back to Moshe Rabbeinu historically, still it's Drabbanan if it's not from the Torah, from Moshe's rabbinical authority, it's still the Rabbanan. So a Pashtus, that's the case when it comes to Shavuot Brachos. The Rush, if you had a chance to see, the Rush does quote the Ramah. Right, what's the Ramah's view? That the first day of Shavuot Brachos
is
Daraisa, right? He quotes a Pasuk. The Pasuk is actually in Shir HaShirim, but okay, we can talk about how that works. But there is such a notion that the first day of Shavuot Brachos is Daraisa, which the whole discussion kind of parallels Avelos. When it comes to Avelos and the whole idea of seven, we have both 7 days of Shavuot Brachos, 7 days of Avelos. So Avelos also, we generally assume lahalacha that 7 days of Avelos are midrabanan. But there is a view in Rishonim that Shiva is Daraisa, and more prominently, there is a view in Rishonim that the first day of Shiva is Daraisa. So there are kind of parallel issues in terms of Shiva and Shavuot Brachos, and they come up in terms of what happens if they clash with each other, which is a discussion in the first paragraph that came on the days in Balnevot Aleph. There's a whole discussion about that and how the various Daraisa, Darabana elements play off against each other. But in any event, we have to figure out whether or not the providence of Shavuot Brachos really tells us about what is the mitzvah of Simchas Chasen and Kabbalah. Because it's most likely that there's a connection between the two, but it's not necessarily the case that Shavuot Brachos is the totality of Simchas Chasen and Kabbalah. Shavuot Brachos presumably is a function of Simchas Chasen and Kabbalah, and we'll have to try to understand that a little bit more. And maybe we'll also have time later in the year to focus specifically on Shavuot Brachos and its related halacha. I think that would be worthwhile if we can find some time over the course of the year to focus on that. We'll try to do that as well. But if, let's say for a second, Shavuot Brachos was purely Drabana, that wouldn't necessarily exclude a Doraisa role for Simchas Chasen and Kabbalah. It would mean that this specific format of a week-long celebration and the recitation of brachos in connection with that week-long celebration may be drabana. But that's not what the Mechaber is addressing in this siman, right? What he says here, mitzvah sameach chasen kala. So what kind of mitzvah is that? And what's the nature of that mitzvah?
Right. So if it's, you mentioned being the father of the Talmud Torah, it seems like it should be at least on the power of that mitzvah.
Okay, so that's itself maybe some kind of a clue that the mitzvah has a very weighty status. We'll have to get into a little bit of the ins and outs of that particular halacha.
Would the same logic apply to the May mitzvah?
Yeah, so there is some kind of correlation between the May mitzvah and Tachnasis Kala or Simchas Chasen Kala. So what seems to be the case is that, and we have to figure this out to take it to the next step, but both in terms of the sources that we see and also in terms of, I think, how we're taught from our youngest age. Right? So, I'm sure you've played cards with a card game of, you know, chesed cards, and they have these games and toys. Right? So, among the various types of chasadim, so you always see Simchas Chasen Kala included in the list of chesed. Right? This is how we're taught as children. This seems to be sustained by the actual Makoros themselves, that this is a component of the broad rubric of Chesed. So Chesed, we certainly assume, is a mitzvah d'oraisa. Where does that come from? Just to speak very quickly about Chesed as a whole. So as a mitzvah d'oraisa, it comes from, say, two places. It comes from the Ahavta L'Recha Kamocha, like the pasuk in Parshas Kedoshim, a very well-known pasuk, and the Rambam writes in Hilchos Eivel, the 14th paragraph of Hilchos Eivel, that is the marker for all the chesed aspects that we have. The idea that we have to be there to help other people in all the different ways, that's a outgrowth of Yahav L'Recha Kamocha. Now we also have the notion of Halakha B'Drachah, which, as Chavos Chaim points out, in a sefer Ahavas Chesed, the Halacha B'Drachah, the idea of imitating God appears probably at least 8 times in sefer Dvarim alone. And Chazal tell us in a few places that the Halacha B'Drachah, the way we imitate God, is by engaging in Chesed, is by engaging in acts
of kindness. So we have a deraisa of chesed as a whole, that Rambam in Hilchos Ego, so he generates a lot of commentary with a little bit of a difficult to understand comment, that he says that on the one hand, the mitzvah of chesed as a whole is a deraisa, we have to deraisa kamocha, but the specific formats that we have of Bikur Cholim, Nichum Aveilim, and the like, so those are institutions with Rabban. Which would seem like he means that Chazal decided to formalize these categories by giving us specific instructions about what Chesed entails, not just leaving it as be nice to each other, but going out of their way to instruct us on certain specific areas in which chesed is generally necessary. So there is a lot of discussion about what he means by this. We find in some later svarim, including some Rishonim, that the Rambam is saying that these mitzvot are, so to speak, only drabanan. I always find it difficult to say that's really what he means. Maybe I should have put this Rambam on the Maamar Kamus Marinos so you can see it inside, we will do it tomorrow. But it sounds like what the Rambam means is that they are kiyumin of the deraisa. They are one who is involved in any of these activities is fulfilling a mitzvah deraisa and fulfilling a mandate deraisa of v'ahavta l'rayecha kamocha. So the question is, why did Chazal have the need to formalize categories? Why isn't it enough to say, all right, use the yardstick of v'ahavta l'rayecha kamocha and go from there? So that there's a lot of commentary on as well. And it's a little bit of a different subject, and we can talk about it at a different point. We just want to call to your attention that in general, there is this issue that chesed as a whole, presumably a mitzvah d'oraisa, and I have to figure out exactly what the Rambam is getting at when he has this role for chazal in between. But pashas, it's all in the broader rubric of the notion of chesed and hatorah. So, as we also saw, that means then that the halachta bedracha, that we're told to imitate God in acting in chesed. So the Gemara says this in a few places, the Gemara Shabbos, the Gemara Kimmel, the Gemara Sota, and Daf Yudalek, slightly different points of focus the way the Gemara says it, but that essentially to imitate God, in some places Chazal say it's about qualities, Mahu Racham Bachanan, Afata Racham Bachanan, that just as he is kind and compassionate, so you should be kind and compassionate. And sometimes the Gemara says it more in terms of specific actions, that Mahu Malvish Arumim, the Kogar Mason. So too, you should do that. It's just like we find, as the Gemara says in Sota, that we find at the very beginning of the Torah, the very end of the Torah, that God is involved in helping out human beings. At the very beginning, he's Malvish Arumim. He prepares clothes for Adam and Chava and Parshas Bereishis. And at the end of the Torah, he buries Moshe Rabbeinu. So he's involved in acts of chesed all throughout, in the very beginning, the very end. So we should imitate God and engage in chesed. So we have a broad notion to follow God in this general ideal. And when it comes specifically to chesed v'kala, so you find also that there are references to that, particularly so if you had a chance to see, for example, the Gemara Maseches Erevin, right, where the Gemara seems to suggest that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was preparing wedding preparations for Adam and Chava in Gan Eden. And we find that as well, if you looked at the Rashi over here in the first parak, at the Chesamid Aleph, in the discussion of Shavu Brachos. So you find this theme as well, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu set up a wedding celebration for Adam and Chava, and we follow in his path that we're meant to engage in chesed like that as well. It's fascinating, the whole concept of Shema Brachos, again, I do hope we'll be able to come back to this. But the notion of Shema Brachos, if you look at them thematically, so from the beginning to the end, there is kind of this theme of the chasadim of the Kadosh Baruch Hu in general, and getting more specific as it focuses on Yanei Chas and Kala. Really, really very poetic and very powerful to you. Next time you're sitting in a chuppah and you don't know what to do, so you can just try to think about what the Sheva Brachos mean. It's quite impactful and quite poetic, and there's a whole build-up there. First, Yotzer Adam, right? God created man, and then he goes from that to all the different acts that he did
in order to create a hospitable and productive environment for humanity. So, all right, so let's assume like that, right? Let's assume that this act, this mitzvah, simcha sasa v'kala, is a mitzvah of chesed, and that it's, at least on some level, d'araisa, whether a general d'araisa or a specific d'araisa, but it's about the notion of chesed that we had that includes d'araisa obligations. One hypothetical question we also have to think about is, we also, just in this one halacha, and certainly in Gemara's, but the one halacha we read already, so we actually see two different verbs, or two different concepts, really. And on your chesed cards in the game that you played as a kid, you may see two different phrases, right? What is the mitzvah that we're talking about? How do you identify the mitzvah? Two different phrases that I use. So I'm with the simchas chas mekala, and what else? There's another verb that was quoted in this din Shulchan Aruch that we just read. All right, it's also true. I mean, that seems to be a subset. But, yeah, that's also a verb. But what about, I'm sure you've seen the mitzvah portrayed as hachnasas kala. Right, so are these synonyms? Are these two different ways of saying the same thing? Do you have any thoughts about that? Is that they're both interchangeable terms? Or do those refer to different chesed?
It seems to refer to different stages in the process. Okay. Bringing her in, or maybe leaving her father's house and going to the chuppah, and simcha is happening at the wedding itself, maybe, something like that.
Okay, I mean, you could be practically right, so we have to figure that out a little bit, and we have to try to understand, does this refer to different acts of chesed, different mitzvahs, so the halves of one? Kiva?
I'm fair warning, I am behind the word, but I was under the impression that Knesset Scala is helping the bride be able to financially
okay, so there's definitely, so we'll have to see a little bit more about that tomorrow. There's definitely some truth to that in some of the contexts. Whether that covers the whole story doesn't necessarily address everything. The question of what that means in this halacha, for example, if we just zero in on this one halacha in Shulchan Aruch, so theoretically it could be read that way. It doesn't sound like it here as the Ramah has it, right? That if you read all as one sentence, right, Mitzina Shmiru Bar Loi have a miraculous now. Kala Mavatan Tamatari L'Hachnasas Kala L'Chuppah. So it sounds like it means that this whole process of the celebration itself is a reason, let's say, to go to the wedding rather than to sit in the base manager.
Instead of the people's for
right,
as you do here, Hachnasas.
You absolutely do. Right.
Of course, the appeals are rarely a good source for Allah's information.
Well, hopefully they should be. But the point of the Na'ad Machan is that there clearly is some discover role in Hachnasas Kala. So we have to figure out also, is that the definition of Mitzvah Hachnasas Kala? Is it a component of Hachnasas Kala? You know, just to give a rough marshal right now, and we'll get into it more tomorrow, let's say the Mitzvah of Bikur Cholim, right? So Bikur Cholim, Hashas is normally fulfilled by going to visit a Cholim. But the postman also writes that if you donate money to a hospital, you're also on some level of fulfillment of Bikur Cholim. So theoretically, there is a stuck avenue that if we define Bikur Cholim broadly as whatever helps sick people, so we may have a direct format in terms of your physically being there, but there may be a fulfillment through a stuck route, and maybe one is the acre, maybe the other is the acre. So it's not necessarily a contradiction one way or another. It certainly does seem to be the case that there is a strong stuck component in Hachnasas Kala. So it's just something to keep in mind. Get into a little bit more tomorrow. What is the relationship between the two concepts? Are these interchangeable ideas? Are they two halves of the same mitzvah? Are they two separate mitzvahs? That's something that we'll have to try to pay attention to. Sammy?
Yeah, we have also possibly said that Hachnasas Kala, you're Mekayim by physically doing the action, whether it's being there or bringing the Kala, whatever it is, versus simplest custom of Kala, which seems like we need to elicit some type of emotion out of the Kala, the custom of Kala. Something greater, something more that you need.
So you're saying the first step is Hachnasas Kala, and then Simchas Kala builds on it.
Yeah, and you need something more than just doing that, you need to make sure that you're getting a reaction out of the.
So you're asking a lot of important questions. We'll have to see how those play out in terms of what does Simchas Kala require of us. Right? And what, again, we find different chesed and we have the same types of questions in other areas. You know, what does Nichum Aveilu require of us? Does it require coming to a Shiva, or does it require something more than that? You know, so it's so we do with simple stuff in the Kala. Require being here, require more than that, or is something else completely? And the Gemara of Sa'at Brachos, which is on the Gemara of Pumas, and if you had a chance to see it, which we'll also see, is going to play an important role, just to give a little bit of an advance clue to it. So the Gemara says, V'akol ha'nenem e'sudas chasen v'engel mesamcho over Mishun Hei Kolos. A person could theoretically partake in a sudas chasen and not fulfill the mitzvah of simcha. So we have to figure out exactly what that means, what the nature of that criticism is. So let's assume that we have the following so far, that there is a mitzvah of simchas chasen v'kala at least, which seems to mean something about making them happy, and that mitzvah is a chesed, and a subset of a larger chasad v'daraisa that we find in all walks of life. What's the chesed about? Right, so as many have pointed out, you know, we give gifts to the chasen kala, so you might think we should give gifts to everyone else. Right? The chasen kala are probably the ones who need the least cheering up in the time of the wedding. So they're the ones who hopefully are happy enough. And it's all the people who aren't getting married that day who need to have the gifts. So what is the idea? And there's clearly something very different here when you categorize this with Iker Cholim, with Nichum Aveilim, right, with Kura Sameis, with Staka. There's clearly one major difference between this chesed and all those chesed, right? What am I getting at here? But in all of those chesed, somebody's in a bad situation, and your job is to try to improve the situation. Try to help the Chole, try to help the Ogel, try to help the Nisra. Simchas Chasen V'Kala is kind of in the opposite direction, right? What is the idea of helping these people who hopefully are having the happiest day of their lives so far? You want to try to comment on that a little bit? What's the idea? What's the chesed here? What is the need? Are you?
So they are on one level of happiness, and the need is to get them on a higher level. So
there's all this relative. It's just calibrated that basically chesed is all about making people happier. So everyone should be aiming for on a scale of 1 to 10 to a 10. And if somebody's at negative 2, so you've got to pull them up to higher. And if somebody's at a 7, you've got to move them to a 10. Okay, so it's general. Anybody you see in life with a mitzvah to exert effort to make them happier than they already are. Is that really the case, though? Is any Yitzi with the first and Akiva the Sammy?
I was going to say something similar to that, but like maybe there is somewhat of a kal v'chomer here.
Okay.
If you know, are supposed to make someone who's, you know, who's sick or needed to help them in some way, then all the more so someone who's, you know, who's happy and you will, like what Arya said.
But does that follow though? I mean, as a kal v'chomer, does it follow? A person who's unhappy needs to be made happy. And we can acknowledge everything's relative, but here it does seem to be something different. Here the person is having a good day, so it's our right to make the day better. And why don't we also have a category for average people? Right? People who are not suffering, but are not necessarily having a particular symptom that day. So we have a mitzvah time to give random gifts to people who are at mid-level range of happiness so that they'll be happier. Yeah, maybe on some level, right? You know, there is an idea of spreading cheer and joy in general, but is that what's going on here? People, you want to comment?
Generally, happiness happens when it is shared.
Mm-hmm.
You know, having been married, I know that if nobody showed up in my room, which was a distinct possibility because it's in Los Angeles, it would have been as nearly as happy as an occasion as it was.
So it's interesting. There are some, I saw some story that did say exactly like that, that because of the social nature of people, for example, there's a beautiful sefer called Yishvara Ego, where he discusses along these lines. Sefer Shukastav, he has a discussion about this with Rabbi Kriya, Mir Yeshiva, that it would be a lack. You know, the person was going through the happiest day of their lives and nobody would show up. So then that would all of a sudden become a chisaron. That would be a source of sadness for them. So maybe on some level, in order to preserve it as the happy occasion it's meant to be, so it's necessary to have everyone come and partake. Some have also pointed out more broadly that the whole notion of chesed is empathy. You know, we have to be able to connect to the emotions that people around us are going through. So we have to be able to plug in on all ends. That the same way we want to be there for somebody who is suffering and to feel their anguish, so we can't really turn that off and go in the other direction. If a person is going through great joy, so then the same mitzvah, which requires you to identify with the emotions of others, is going to also require that you respond appropriately to their happy occasions, just as you respond to their negative occasions. So Sam, you had another question? Sorry? Okay, so we're going to have to continue this tomorrow. Just mention one more point, and we'll say a little bit more about this tomorrow. Rochana Wasserman discusses this in his Kovet Shir Tiksubis. So he mentions, on the one hand, that it seems that this is all about showing respect and honor to those who are involved in a mitzvah. So we discussed in our introduction about how Kiddushin is some form of a mitzvah, either a mitzvah directly or a Hashem mitzvah. But it's clearly more than that. Right? It's clearly, we don't do this for everybody who does a mitzvah, otherwise we'd be very busy and very poor with catering expenses. So clearly there's something unique about this mitzvah that it gets all this attention. So he goes on to say that presumably a part of it is that it's necessary to try to give the couple chizuk, that this decision that they're making, which is so consequential, is a decision that they should be happy about. Right? And remember also, it's the question we're discussing the past 2 days, and we should call attention to it today as well. So we came to this first, to the city of Kesem Rakhtim Lufne Hakala, and we posed the question, is that just a detail, a general look of the Shana Sufne HaShalom Sugya that we've been talking about before today? Or is there a reason specifically that it's taught in this context, and maybe it's not a general application of a Shas topic, but maybe it's a specific aspect of this mitzvah? And again, the fact that the Shulchan Aruch quotes it here is also something to pay attention to. That brought in this halacha, that mitzvah l'rakei lefneihem v'lomar shinav v'chasuda afilu le'nonah, is apparently not simply a reflection of this hetter. Oh, by the way, in case you want to say this, you should know it's mutter mitzvah shas v'nishalom. But there is something more fundamental here, that this is a part of mitzvah davka to emphasize how great the shidduch is, to emphasize how great the mitzia they are for each other. Apparently that's a part of the mitzvah. How exactly does that play a role? What exactly is that meant to accomplish? So God willing, we will continue with that tomorrow. All right, so hopefully by tomorrow we'll see a little more of some of the makaros that are relevant, and we'll be able to get a fuller picture of how all these points come together. I wish everyone a wonderful day.